Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 5, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It's been a great day for the Rangers already, even though it is their day off. Wolchuk has the proper round tripper and more. Wooly Bully.
All right, tomorrow it's going to be a big one. We're going to be previewing it all show long leading into pregame at 5:30 as it is the return. Jacob DeGrom. DeGromination at Citi Field, where he spent Cy Young seasons pitching for the Mets. Mets and Rangers. Nearly identical records. Mets at 76-70, second place in the NL East. I believe they're 10 games back now from the Phillies. And we'll get to the Phillies and Philly Karen. That's right. You know who you are, Philly Karen, in just a minute. 77-70 are your Texas Rangers. But, hey, they moved up today, boys. They moved up today in the standings, thanks to the Astros taking a big fat L. And we'll take it.
Dawson brought that thing home right from the jump.
Damn right you did, G. Two games back.
It.
And you're doing what you need to do, and that's still not believing in the Rangers, right?
That's right. Yes.
Not believing.
You're on it.
They are frauds.
I will publicly, if I publicly praise and believe in the Rangers, it will jinx them.
Yep.
So I think what's safe, though, is me actively and very publicly scoreboard watching and rooting against the rivals.
Amen.
So and I found my lane here.
I love what you're doing. Half game. Seattle is back of Houston. Rangers two games back. But the Rangers certainly in the thick of it, not only for the wild card, but the division as well. Right now, they're a game and a half back in the wild card. Yankees, Red Sox, Mariners. But excited for tomorrow, I'm sure. Full of emotion. A lot of buildup for Jacob DeGrom and that matchup with the Mets. And this is a Mets team. You never really know what you're going to get. From the Mets. I mean, sometimes it looks like earlier in the season, could they end up being the best team in the National League? Then they went on a really bad stretch. Certainly, they still have a lot of really good big-name players that you're going to have to watch out for. But the way this Rangers team's playing, man, this is it just feels like house money. It feels like something special is a-brewing right now with what these young guys are doing out there. And, I mean, what Michael Hellman did in this series against Milwaukee, the grand slam. You had two tremendous plays, a home run robbery there playing center field. He's hitting another home run. I mean, Jake Berger's found it. He's found the bat and found the rhythm. It seems like every time you look up, Cody Freeman or Alejandro Osuna are doing something. And you might get Sam Haggerty, who had some really good moments leading off, back and healthy here soon, too. Plus Tyler Mahle. All of a sudden, look out now. I mean, I think Corey Seager is a guy, you're automatically, he's inserted back in the lineup. But if you're able... And we're a long ways away. Let's take this thing one step at a time. We might have a conversation, and I hope we do, because it means the Rangers are postseason bound. But like, what do you do with Marcus Semien? And I think they're going to go ahead and just put him back in, but I don't know. Like, with the way Cody Freeman's playing, Cody Freeman's a player that I'm not taking out of the lineup right now. He's got to be at least DHing for me. He's giving me that type of magical spark and energy that this team badly needed.
We talked about this on social last night with some Rangers fans. I'm trying to reconnect with them, let them know, hey, I'm on your side. Maybe I just don't believe in Jack Leiter as much. But I said this, Corey Seager comes back, he's full-time. Adolis Garcia comes back, he's half-time. Marcus Semien, I'm waiting, right? Now, that's what I would do. I'm waiting for good, favorable matchups against pitchers you have tatered.
I think that's
because things have shifted, you know, and, you know, Marcus Semien has just had massive slumps over the last four seasons. And at this age, for a second baseman on his profile, it's entirely normal to no longer be an elite hitter. I fear that the organization is going to defer to his legacy and his status in the clubhouse and just plug him in there. And it could be a turning point the opposite way. I joked addition by subtraction when he went down. I think it might be the case.
No, and there's something to that. Like, this team needed, they were stale in that clubhouse. They were. I mean, you don't have a lot of guys that are going to be overly emotional and show that, and they needed some of this with the energy and enthusiasm that you're getting from Freeman, that Alejandro Osuna. I mean, the second we got to interview the guy, I mean, he is just, he's the walking embodiment of like, wow, pinch me. I'm here. I'm a major leaguer right now. Mm-hmm. Like, he is enjoying every single day. Like, is this real life? And you need that sometimes. You need, and these guys are hungry. They're trying to prove that they can make it at the major league level. Sometimes, and I'm not saying that this happened with this Rangers baseball team, But when you reach the mountain and you win a World Series, it's like, I've been there, I've done that. And I still believe that these guys are hungry. But there's something to be said about these young guys that have everything to prove that they belong. And they're trying to earn their spot right now. And I'm not trying to mess with this good juju that's going on. They got a tough call to make coming up here soon.
It's all chemistry and mojo or juju. You know, however you want to put it, I think this thing has its own momentum to it. It's got its own life. And you can't help but wonder if two quiet team leaders are going to dourly bring it down through no fault of their own. They're just being 100%. Themselves.
Absolutely. I'm with you, man. It's going to be and like Seager, he was still crushing it before he got hurt. Seager's not going anywhere. But to me, I'm playing Seager at short. I'm starting Josh Smith probably at second base. Is Smitty, you want to play Smitty at first if you want to do that in the outfield matchup wise? Or Cody Freeman's going to be starting for me at second, or I'm DHing Cody Freeman. But that's a guy that's earned it to me, and I think Osuna's earning, and Hellman. These are other guys in the outfield. Michael Hellman, for sure, with the way he's playing right now.
Yeah.
This is going to be fascinating. It's a great problem to have.
It is.
Because we're talking about extending the season now. But goodness gracious, I get it. Second place MVP, Marcus Semien. But let's go back and look at that 2023 postseason run. Marcus Semien didn't have the greatest postseason that year in 2023. He was awesome in the regular season. The postseason wasn't awesome. It's one that I don't get paid to make those decisions. But I do think you got to wonder, with how these guys are playing right now, do you want to mess with that?
I think you got to treat at least second base like it is now, where we have a rotating cast and be on your toes, don't know what to expect when you show up. And who knows? Maybe the time off is exactly what Marcus Semien needed. I guess when he's first healthy, a couple of games. But if it's collar, we're done here.
13th right now is where the Rangers are in the power rankings. They're at number 13. They previously were there, and right ahead of them are their rivals in the division and the team they're playing next. That is the Mariners at 12, the Mets, who they're taking on over the weekend in New York at 11, and then the Astros at number 10 in the ESPN power rankings. They're right in their sights, man. I mean, they're nipping on the heels right now, are your Texas Rangers. Now, have you guys ever done this? And I will say, when I heard Josh Smith on Foul Territory say this, I said, you know what? Probably guilty. Here's Smitty. If you do this, he's not a fan of it.
I mean, people on dating profiles round up like 2.5 inches. You can at least round up a half an inch to 5.
I think that's the worst type of human being, actually, is someone who rounds up their height. I want you to tell me exactly what you are. Like, don't lie about your height. If you lie about your height, you have a little bit of insecurity to you that makes me not trust you as much as another person who tells me exactly how tall they are.
Wait, but if you're five, so what's the line? You have to do halvesies?
I mean, dude, 5'8.5" is a lot different than 5'9", in my opinion.
So don't round up your height. Now, I probably do that. I think I'm like 5'11.5". I round up and I just say 6 foot. I guess to Josh Smith, like, I'm a terrible human being. Now, Josh Smith is a short king. He is.
He's owning it.
And this is probably why this irks him a little bit. Like, I wonder if we were to ask Jared about this. Jared, people that round up their height. But I would also think that the shorter people are the guilty culprits of this. Wouldn't they be rounding up their height? Like, I'm not 5'7.5". I'm 5'8".
But
how dare you?
You don't feel guilty. You're not 6 foot.
I think I am 6 foot.
You think you are?
Yeah. The last time I got measured, I was right there.
What do you mean by right there?
Like 6 foot.
Yeah. Like right there at 5'11 and a half.
Like 5'11 and a half.
I don't think it was 5'11.5. I think it was 6 foot.
Okay. So then you're not a round up guy.
Then why?
Josh Smith's not calling you out.
You said you surrounded
up. But I haven't been like measured in. I could have shrunk.
Oh, no. We all shrink.
You know? Yeah, so like today, if I were to go get measured, would I actually be 6 foot? I don't know. I can't confirm that to you.
Yeah.
But I did go to the doctor, and I was 6 foot at one point, and I'm just going to rock with that. But I could very well be guilty to this in rounding up. Maybe I am 5'11.5 now.
I saw there was a quarterback at Georgia named Eric Zier, and I saw Eric Zier one time. They were measuring him, and he was under 6 foot, and they had that metal T-square they were putting in his head.
Oh, no.
And he was pushing up in his feet so hard that blood was trickling down his face. That metal T square he was
probably
trying
badass. Did it come down?
It was. It was like down this board, and I'm like, my God, the kid's bleeding to try and be 6 foot tall.
I think in the world of pro football, being being 6'2" or above really matters. But yes, being under 6 foot is devastating. And in the world of dating, I think most women assume you're adding an inch and a half or two. So if you say I'm 5'11 and a half, they're actually going to think you're 5'9, 5'10. You know, so, you know, to answer your question, I did round up until I met the love of my life. And, you know, we've been living in domestic bliss for the last 15 years. So now I just call it what I am. I'm 5'11 and a half, just like you. I might actually only be 5'11 by now. Coming up on 50 years old, I'm shrinking.
I feel like my dad's shrinking. Everyone around me is getting tiny.
Yeah.
I think I'm, hell no, I might be 5'10 now.
Yeah, you start to get the little hunch thing going. It's happened to my grandparents in a large way.
I got the hunchback.
But it looks a little bit, I don't know, like insecure. I would say that's ultimately the deciding point, because the super tall people, they'll shame you for rounding up because they're not rounding up at all. They're like, oh yeah, I'm 6'3". I'm 6'2". Right? And
then you have it the other way with like a guy like Kevin Durant who doesn't want to be 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm 6'11". Yeah. I'm not 7 feet tall.
I'm not 7 footer. You can even have 6'10.
What do you think? I'm some kind of freak.
Yeah. And then you see him in like the Team USA pictures, and he's standing next to like Joel Embiid, and it's like, nah, bro, you're 7 feet tall.
Can we round down? You could round down if you want to. I'm 5'10". I'm 5'11". I'm not 5'11 and a half. I'm 5'11". Whatever makes you feel. But Josh Smith very passionate about that. Okay, the Phillies. Karen, and you guys probably
have a name for her, don't we? Do
it's
a
the
name
Phillies
now?
Karen. We don't, okay, they do know. So there was some misinformation reported about Phillies Karen.
Wow, shocking.
And Eric might have been the culprit of this.
I spearheaded it.
You probably did.
That she was a teacher and she got fired?
Yeah, and I don't think that was the right woman.
Oh, jeez.
They got the wrong guy. I think they have found the right woman. Dad is now saying, like, I just want her out of my life. Like, please do not be going after her. She's getting enough grief as it is.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But here was the Phillies dad explaining the situation of when Philly Karen took the kid's home run ball, courtesy of NBC 10 in Philly.
That was what we were there for. We were there to get a home run ball. So I thought I had accomplished this great thing, and putting in his glove meant a lot. And she was just so adamant and loud and yelling and persistent. And I just didn't want to deal with it anymore. You know, there was hundreds of people, you know, just staring. And like I said, she was very, very, very close. And I'm dad of the family, so I didn't want to do something I'd regret. And that was the choice I made, is to just hand the ball back and tell her, go away.
Shoo, get out of here. But she was. I mean, if you've seen the video of this poor father and son, this lady, they've got the ball fair and square. He gives it to his son, and Philly Karen comes over here just yelling at them. And I guess in the moment, to just calm the situation, he says, fine, we're going to give you. Now it worked out. We give you the ball back. Now we're going to get a signed meet and greet with Harrison Bader. Everything's cool. Everything's kosher. Well, Blowout Cards, an online baseball card retailer, is offering this lady $5,000 for the ball, but only if she signs the ball with an apology. And I don't think she's doing this either. The Savannah Bananas are having fun with this bit. Philly Karen out here, that's who you don't want at a baseball game. She should be banned. Major League Baseball should put her on a poster and say, ma'am, get the hell out of our sport.
Just lay the hammer down in a big way.
Absolutely. We don't want you, Philly Karen. And I hope there's not Mets Karen over the weekend for these poor Rangers fans out
there. You still want that energy in your ballpark.
No,
I get that.
We don't need this. Like, what? You just robbed a ball from a poor young kid that did nothing wrong. Why did you think you were entitled to said ball?
Because the ball fell below her feet.
Oh, and she didn't get it.
Yeah,
she was too
saying,
slow.
Like, dad ran over a couple of sections and got it.
That's my ball. It's not your ball.
Yeah.
Did you touch the ball?
Is that what it is? You touch the ball's yours? Because I don't think so. I think that thing can start getting a little bouncy on.
There's
you
a lot of ricochets
that goes on.
I kind of feel
at
like.
At that point, it's every man for himself. Okay? No one's just going to just say the ball is yours.
I don't feel like I'm running over two sections to grab a ball.
Oh, people do that, though.
For your kid? When all he wants is a home run ball, oh, you're doing it for Bennett Broaddus.
You're doing it for Bennett. Oh, 100% you would.
Bennett Broaddus getting that ball.
He cares probably get it himself.
Now he cares about the beer and the dollar hot dogs.
Yeah,
and guess what?
He care about the foul.
Let's channel our 8-year-old Bennett.
My dad had a chance to catch a foul ball from Hank Aaron, and he wasn't paying attention. I was down there behind the visitor bullpen trying to get a ball, the relievers. Hey, hand me a ball, please. Give me a ball. And dad wasn't even paying attention. The foul ball hit Hank Aaron. A simple catch. He was up there by himself. The ball bounced away. Somebody else got it, you know? I mean, I knocked a guy down to get a foul ball, but
yeah.
I'm not going.
I think that's the real reason your dad didn't go for it. You knew you'd throw him on his ass.
I was, yeah.
Next thing you know, my own son is catapulting over me.
Hank Aaron's, it's a chance to get a ball, and dad just wouldn't. I'm yelling, what are you doing? I don't know.
Too busy chatting with Mickey Mantle?
No, he's looking at the out-of-town scoreboard, you know? He's just not even paying attention
scoreboard
to the game.
Scoreboard watching, probably. Yeah. Hoping the Astros lose to
the
Blue Jays.
old Turnpike Stadium, too.
Dang.
It was old stadium.
I do like this from the 254. I think they should let that Karen in the ballpark for every game. But if she ever gets a ball, she has to give that ball to somebody else. The likelihood of her getting a ball,
she's not getting another ball.
She just doesn't have the athleticism or the real want to. You know, she wants to wait for the plays over and then bitch about what happened. How about you play between the whistles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eric, would you'd run over? You're saying for your daughters, you'd run over three sections to get the ball, right?
Yes.
What the dad did was 100%
fair. And how would you do that if you had all three daughters at the game in one ball?
They're sharing the ball. It's all their ball.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah,
that's not
it's
happening.
Just another opportunity to practice sharing. That's what it is.
Sharing is caring, baby. This is a learning experience for us.
That is not going to work out.
No, it's probably going to cause some infighting, and I'm going to be pissed off at myself the entire night because I went out of my way to do something nice, and now it's causing strife. It's happened with these two little puppies at home. Two little puppies at home, and obviously, there's an odd man out every time.
Oh.
Everybody wants to hold the dog. Everybody wants to pet the dog.
Got to get a third puppy.
And then it's like, I think we go back to zero. No. I think that's the move. if we're adjusting the numbers, we're going to reduce this thing.
I'll take the two.
I'll round down on the dogs. How about that?
With three daughters at
you
the game.
You love those dogs.
So with three daughters at the game, you're thinking, I'm not even going to run over and get a ball. You're thinking that right now because the problems are more than going to getting the ball, right?
I still think being the hero, you know, they're going to remember all these thousands of people. My dad was the one who got the ball.
What if you just give it to mom?
There's something to that.
There you go. Give it to mom.
Yeah,
give the ball to mom.
Yeah. Problem's yours now, mom. You deal with it.
This is dad's ball. I'm pretty awesome, aren't I?
Yeah.
Look at me. I don't know. I was just kind of thinking that maybe you would say it's not worth it. It's not worth the headache. I know.
Listen, a home run ball? I think a home run ball is different than a foul ball.
With your bad back, you would not be moving to get the ball.
I think you'd be surprised. I've been taking the BPC 157.
I saw that on social. Is it working?
Back's starting to feel a little bit better, boys.
That is a mouthful.
What the hell?
Injections?
BPC 157 is a peptide that is it's been all the craze for probably the last year plus.
What, weight loss?
Just like Hashimoto's?
No, it's not a weight loss thing. It's like a healing agent. It's like your body already produces it, but this obviously just gives you more. And so you can do the injections, which I think are probably the best way to go. You're gonna feel the difference in a much quicker, bigger, more pronounced way. I'm doing the capsules because it's plenty cheaper. And I saw a deal and I was like, you know what? Let's just go for it. So I've been taking it for probably 4 or 5 weeks now. And when it comes to my back, I would say at least a 25% reduction.
What's the side effects?
I haven't noticed any side effects.
Oh, his ball shrunk.
You know, I mean, you have a little bit of a shrinkage situation. I thought that was just, nature taking its course.
Of course.
Every once in a while, my face will go numb, but nothing crazy.
Nature always wins.
Talking also.
There we go.
Start sounding like Meryl Reese.
Round tripper. Oh, I'm sorry. That was uncalled for. Can we dump that, Jay?
Nope. No.
All right. We got to run. When we return, Eric, what's in store?
Sports hodgepodge. Interesting numbers on Arch Manning. Let's take a look. Next year in the nation. But Tolos in Fort Worth, it's time to get ready. The all-new Alliance Hyundai, it's here, baby. Right off I-35, Golden Triangle, right around the corner from where I stay. I'll tell you what, if you're there, I'll pop in. I'll say what's up because I love Alliance Hyundai and what they're about. Ryan Watson, the owner, he's just fantastic. He's doing things the right way. His passion for customers is absolutely top-notch, and same with the service that he provides. Your car buying experience will be a one-of-one when you go to Alliance Hyundai in Fort Worth. I was in the car business for a couple of years. Trust me, no one's doing it better. Right now, it's the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event at Alliance Hyundai. Every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty. We're talking 10 years, 100,000-mile, limited powertrain warranty, plus owner assurance. Now, you can ask Ryan's team about the federal EV tax credit. That's up to $7,500 on select models, but hurry because it ends September 30th. They also have a great selection of the all-new, absolutely stunning 2026 Hyundai Palisade. Their state-of-the-art facility has Hyundai-certified techs using advanced tools for everything from oil changes to major repairs. And if you need same-day service, they got you covered with the quick turnaround. Relax in their comfy waiting area, free Wi-Fi, snacks, drinks, the whole nine. Visit AllianceHyundai.net. That's AllianceHyundai.net. And remember, at Alliance Hyundai, it's their mission to be your ally in the automotive business.
All right, welcome back into the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. If you've been injured at a car truck wreck, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's the chief with some late night sports.
All right, boys and girls, couple of housekeeping notes. Arrowhead Stadium with the Super Bowl rematch. Good old-fashioned Cheagles matchup. We have, apparently, it's going to be filled with Eagles fans. 30% of purchases for tickets have come from the state of Pennsylvania so far on TickPick. That's an Eagles fan base that is ready to take over and try and make it theirs. I don't think Pat Mahomes is going to allow that to happen. Pat Mahomes has never lost three straight games in the NFL, including playoffs. So if you go back to the Super Bowl and then you drop week one, this is now an opportunity for him to lose for the first time his third game in a row. He's a home dog. I just don't see it happening. I do not see it happening.
I can't wait. It's a truth-telling game. A truth serum game? How do you put it?
Yeah, a little truth serum game. I'm here for it.
I'll ask you on Sunday, Eric. Give it to me.
I mean, there's a tipping point sometimes with teams where they're good, they're holding on, and then all of a sudden, boom, something happened, right? And I feel like the defense wasn't quite as good, the offensive line not quite as good, Kelsey, Xavier Worthy. You know, if I'm them, I'm thinking this might have ended. Our window might be closed, and we need to get back into the personnel trenches here and build this team back up to the point that it was. That was really a top three defense at the height of their powers. Now I don't even know if it's top 10.
That was the biggest surprise to me, and I'm sure over the course of the season, Spags will start to figure some things out. I mean, I will give him that benefit of the doubt right now, but that defense was problematic. And when you have an offense that is so lacking in real skill position players at every spot, I mean, you're not handing it to a guy that really strikes fear into you. You're not throwing it to anybody that strikes fear into you. Kelsey is a shell of himself, it feels like, at this point. So Mahomes has to do a ton of heavy lifting, and he's certainly more than capable. I mean, he's still, through 1 week of the season, he's the most efficient scrambler in the NFL.
Dang.
At the quarterback spot, and that's something he did last year. He's not as electric as a Jaden Daniels, a Lamar, a Josh Allen, or whatever, but in terms of just efficient scrambles, stealing first downs at a high level, and we know Mark Schlereth has some beef with the way that he approaches the sideline. But I will say, in that game the other night in Brazil, they smacked him a couple of times on the sideline.
Yes. Some stuff led into that.
Yeah. Late in the game, he kind of puts a shoulder into a guy on the sidelines, but he had already taken some shots.
Yeah. I would say, though, that should be a finable offense. If you're playing the sideline, that as a quarterback, you lower your shoulder and boom a guy, that's exploiting the rules. The hits that he was taking were within the game.
Yeah, I don't think they were cheap hits at all, but he did take them. And I don't even think that one on Friday night was an overly egregious one where he's like, because he's had worse ones before where it's clearly like he's acting like he's going out of bounds and then puts a move or lowers a shoulder.
But I'm slowing down. I'm no longer bracing for contact. Mahomes is a hoss. You know?
He is.
That's a pop.
Yeah. Yeah. Who was that? Was the Niners safety last year in the end zone? One of their big hitter safeties that he just absolutely, yeah. No, it was a different guy with a crazy last name. Absolutely truck-sticked him. So, yeah, Mahomes is a lot to deal with. Now, to the college football world, saw this from C.J. Vogel, who covers the Texas Longhorns.
Yep.
What do you think about this, Broadus? Because one of the things that we usually talk about in football, helping your quarterback out, having a great play-action game. Mm-hmm. Right, quarterbacks off play action. More often than not, they're better. You do have some examples of quarterbacks that aren't as good with off play action. But by and large, if you're rocking play action at a high level, your quarterback's going to be benefiting from it. But when you look at Texas right now and you look at Arch Manning, play action versus just straight drop back numbers, it's 141 qualifying quarterbacks in college football. And this is how Manning grades out by Pro Football Focus. He's 135th out of 141 quarterbacks when it comes to play action.
Coach not helping him very much there, huh?
He's second among the 141 college quarterbacks when it comes to straight dropbacks.
Hmm. He's used to straight dropbacks.
I guess from like a high school standpoint.
Yeah, that's really all he did.
I only saw him play a couple times in high school. Can't say one way or another. I mean,
the competition level wasn't very good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why their whole time's been like, he needs to play, and we're not going to rush him to the NFL. And if he had played immediately as a freshman, it probably would have looked way worse than it did opening day against Ohio State.
You kind of feel like just mechanically the issues are there? Just the mechanics.
Yeah, if
issues.
He's not hurt, there's definitely moments where you're going, footwork. You look hurt. So if you're not, what's wrong?
Yeah, there's short hopping some balls in, the shoulders and matching the feet, you know, some of that. And really, he's not setting. Like, the base isn't where it needs to be for him sometimes. So, yeah, I mean, I do think... I also wonder with him, it's kind of like we talked about with Ezeraku, like, is he overthinking? Is he trying to be perfect? Because I think Sark, schematically, there were plays to be had against Ohio State, and he did not read it well.
Yeah.
So, well, this is going to be a big test for Arch moving forward. I mean, he looked better last week, but there were still some throws that he missed.
I mean, you mentioned Ohio State. Only two teams have played them. I'd love to see how many of those play-action attempts were against the Buckeyes. You know, if you further drill down into the data.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
like... Maybe not a lot was going to work for that gentleman on that day.
Yeah.
Big test when they go to the swamp here a couple weeks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's after you go UTEP, Sam Houston, you get Gators, then you get Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So you got 2 weeks to kind of tune up. But UTEP, number one tackling team in the country, according to Pro Football Focus. So we'll see if some guys can get loose from a playmaker standpoint. But I don't think they're going to have Wisner this weekend.
He's out.
DeAndre Moore, Emmett Mosley. Also, some wide receivers that probably not going to be playing in this game. And then a defensive lineman, Alex January, as well. So, Sark said he doesn't have long-term concerns for any of those guys, but they will not be playing this weekend. But we'll see how Arch goes ahead and plays this weekend. Now, you also have Oklahoma State and their fan base now doing the old Mike McDaniel, Miami Dolphins GoFundMe to fire. Get the buyout cooked up. And... I think the buyout has reduced considerably. The school would have had to fork over more than $25 million if it had fired him last season, but that number now sits at $15 million for the next two seasons and then drops to $10 million in 2027. So $15 million would be the buyout right now if they decided to bleep can old Gundy. I don't know. I struggle to imagine they would actually do that to him during the season, but you have to imagine that this is... going to be the last rodeo.
A good
long run.
As a long run there.
Player and coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't think they do him dirty that way unless things get real nasty. And that Oregon game was nasty.
It was bad.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But the fan base is now ready. Hey, let's go ahead and all pitch in and see if we can get this buyout thing cooked up. Now, this was a clip from Saturday and haven't gotten a chance to play it, but how about this one? The Iowa State game, Iowa State and Iowa. And listen to Gus Johnson telling a bit of a report about the offensive coordinator for Iowa State and the predicament that he was put in. Of course, he chose Ball.
So Mazza was dating the same girl. She came to Ames with him. And after 1 year, she said to Taylor, this isn't for me. It's either me or Iowa State. And Taylor said, I'm going with my bro. See you later.
I think she actually said it's either me or Campbell. And he goes, oh, that's an easy one. Campbell, for sure.
Hey, bros before.
Oh, man.
What? Gus Johnson, dude.
Hello.
Getting loose.
Spicy. I like that. He wants to go viral, apparently.
Gus Johnson is just built for college football.
He is built for college football.
I love him so much.
Yep.
The excitement's through the roof, but dropping a little bros before action.
Bros
and
before.
Shout out to that guy, choosing football. That's exactly what you do there. Like, bro, I'm at Iowa State.
What?
Like, we're climbing the ranks right now, man. What are we doing? I'm going to go get a desk job for some rando?
No.
No, thank you.
No, you don't leave sports until somebody drags you kicking and screaming.
I like this guy. I like him.
good point.
Like the cut of his jib, well, Chuck, you know that. Okay. Man.
Tell everybody what a jib is.
Well, I would, but...
Tell everybody what a jib is.
I just don't think now's the time.
Is that a schwanz?
Oh. It's a sail.
It's, of course, it's a boat situation.
Yeah. Triangular.
Sailboat.
It's a sail that goes behind a sail. The jib.
I feel like everybody knew that, right? And
I felt like that you kind of like, I was kind of hopeful that since you used the statement that you were going to say what a jib was.
You know I'm a boat guy, Broadus.
Yeah,
I mean, I played the Jessica Simpson sound earlier.
Yeah.
How do you not know
Dawson
that I'm a boat guy?
Dawson had to look up how much the boat was.
Yeah.
I'm going to call Brian boat guy of the day, though. I think he just windmilled on
I think that's fair. He totally
more of a
jizz dunked on
guy
me.
Guy myself.
What was that now? I think it's a jig boom.
I mean, it's the jizz.
Okay.
What? I was just making sure that Eric, he was using words.
He did. He used the cut of your jib correctly. Someone's appearance. You like it.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
I just want to know what he thought what a jib was.
Well, what do you guys think about...
Moving on just seamlessly.
What do you guys think about the UFC White House card?
It's happening.
So it's not going to be on July 4th.
All the living
presidents... Fight at Valley Ranch?
All the living presidents going to fight? What are we doing? Bill Clinton versus Barack Obama?
No, so it's going to be...
Oh my gosh.
What are we doing?
We'd be here for that. So the
Monica
fighters
in the corner.
The fighters are actually going to be coming out from the Oval Office.
Okay.
And it's going to go down in June. It's not going to be July 4th. I guess logistical issues have
we got 250 years coming up, right?
Don't we? I mean, we got a Saturday. We can't do an Independence Day fight card. What are we doing here, UFC?
Apparently not.
Presidente, a big fan of this, I guess?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a big fan of this. Yeah, I think it was his.
He loves the UFC.
Might have been his idea to make this a White House event. But nonetheless, weigh-ins at the Lincoln Memorial, fight night on the South Lawn. Fighters warm up inside the White House. It will be coming out from the Oval Office. Giant screens outside, fireworks, light shows. Seems like it's going to be quite the event.
I think, is this really, I asked this question, is our 250th birthday for the United States? What are we doing this?
Yeah, I think it is.
2026?
I think so.
I think this you nailed it.
1776, right?
It's been a good run.
That's right, Broadus, that's right. And congratulations to a world-class dominator.
Thank
Joey
you, man.
Jaws.
Appreciate
just crushed 53 boxes of poutine.
Is that that's the Canadian dish?
Yeah,
yes.
It's the fries with the gravy.
He dominated a bunch of Americans in just punishing 53 boxes like a Chinese takeout box.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the size of it. And he just goes with the hand. I mean, he just hand scooping it into his face.
So it's all mixed into like one glob? You're not dunking the fries in gravy? It's on top?
It's all coming out of the deal.
So I don't know how I feel about that. I really enjoyed it. Jake's Burgers, the chicken strips with gravy, putting the fries in that. It does hit.
It does hit. That does work.
But I don't know if I want it all globbed together.
And the poutine is a brown gravy too, by the way. It's not a normal, like a white gravy. It's a brown one.
Do you have a preference? Because I kind of like a milk gravy.
The white one.
I know you do.
I mean, I'm here for the brown gravy as well.
With a lot of pepper.
But yeah, with a lot of pepper on those mashed potatoes,
I'll tell you what,
with the chicken tendies.
I think brown has more flavor though.
It brown's got really good flavor.
It's
but
good.
I think to me I like white gravy, but like if you're giving me a Salisbury steak, give me the brown gravy. You know,
if you're giving me a Salisbury steak, I'm leaving.
Have you ever just had one as a kid?
For sure,
as a TV dinner,
hungry man.
Yeah, my dad eats it still.
Like to this day.
Yeah, he'll go, hey. By the way, you get to pick up any of those Hungry Man dinners?
Why not? Rock with them.
I'll tell you what, I do pick them up. My mom dolls them up.
Oh, does she?
What's she doing there?
She like takes them out of the tray and kind of puts like added things to them.
Presents a nice looking
plate. He's like, hey, so I'll be like walking. I'll be walking through Tom Thumb. I've got like a cart full of Hungry Man dinners, and people look at me like, weirdo. I really want to say these are my 86-year-old dad who really likes them. But yeah, he loves the Salisbury steak ones with the corn and the potatoes and the brownie.
Oh my God.
The brownie's
The brownie's the real deal.
Very good. Yeah. I used to crush them in college. I mean, it's tremendous value.
Yeah.
$4 dinner.
It's a $4 dinner is what it is.
And it's hard to find some of the grocery stores these days that's under $6.
Tom Thumb's got them. It's the Hungry Man dinners. I mean, it's in the box. Or you could go for the Stouffer's one. They're kind of there. They're a little bit more high end. But the Hungry Man dinners are just right there. They got the turkey and dressing and stuff.
They still got the Kid Cuisines.
Yeah.
I used to crush the Kid Cuisines.
Did you?
All right, I'm ready for dinner now. Yeah, I can imagine.
Cuisines, what are those?
We'll save for the story.
It's basically the Hungry Man for kids.
Really?
Yes, Brian.
I've never seen those.
It's the Hungry Kids. Presented by Zach Wolchuk.
Is that why
Kid Cuisine.
Is that why kids have weight problems?
Probably. It's America.
Getting personal here.
I'm just not.
Rowdy Tellez on the hotline.
I'm just saying. I just wonder.
Golly, Brian.
I wasn't saying you, Wolchuk, a little bit. No, I wasn't.
Let's cut that up and play that on the other shows here nonstop.
You even have a Kid Cuisine
fat
level.
Fat shaming brought us. I can't believe you.
I'm big guy, too. Yeah.
Well, that's how I felt with Rowdy.
Are
you kidding me?
Stop.
We're two peas in a giant pot here.
Shut up, Dawson. You were wrong.
All right, let's run. We got crosstalk with Fan After Dark. Fred and Blake throwing heat in the bullpen, and we're back with them here in the nation. I have to chat Men's Tea Clinic before we get there, though, because maybe you're putting on a little bit around the midsection. Maybe you're seeing the muscular definition in your body evaporate. What happened? Well, you got old. You know, it happens. And it's not even that old. You know, late 20s, early 30s, our body produces testosterone less and less. And the next thing you know, you're operating at quite a testosterone deficiency. It's no fun. It is. It's no fun at all. And Men's Tea Clinic can fix it. It's great to live in this time. You know, just a generation ago, we didn't have testosterone replacement therapy that we could just go to Men's Tea Clinic and get. Now, not only do we have it, but we have access to Men's Tea Clinic, who has set the industry standard. They are the absolute best because of the medical professionals at each and every Men's Tea Clinic location around North Texas. They're going to optimize a plan to make sure everything is safe and you're getting the absolute best out of it. And the benefits of testosterone replacement therapy are outstanding. Your energy levels, your health, it's going to skyrocket. You're going to be living your best life with energy to do whatever you need to do, from the boardroom to the bedroom. They do have bedroom wellness on top of the testosterone replacement therapy. If you need to go next level on that, they got you. Hair replacement therapies, natural regenerative therapies for joint pains, and so much more. Pretty much, if there is a man-specific issue out there, Men's Tea Clinic has it. They're waiting for you. All you have to do is call them and set an appointment. You can do it right now. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or mensteaclinic.com. 5-minute appointments. You're in, you're out, you're back to being you. Get your edge back. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA, mensteaclinic.com.
Back to 105.3 The Fan. This upcoming segment is brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. If you're in the market to upgrade your vehicle, get to Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine. Back-to-back number one Chevy dealership in the world. They've got more new Chevys than anyone, all priced to sell. Silverados, Tahoes, Blazers, Malibus, Equinox, and more. Visit ClassicChevrolet.com. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, and enjoy the difference. Based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023 and 2024.
Thank you, Jacob Braid. Doing a nice job today filling in for Lucius Alexander. You back with us tomorrow, Lucius?
No, you guys got Dylan tomorrow. I'm on KNC tomorrow morning.
Looking forward to that as well. Hope you have a good Friday. Thanks for helping us out here today, buddy. Here they are, Fred and Blake, Fan After Dark. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Doing phenomenal. Doing phenomenal. Great weather outside. I made this take a month ago. Been saying it my whole life, but I said it on the radio that the best month, best season, best season in all of Texas is the fall. There should be no disagreements here, right? You get sports, great sports, all of them. You got baseball going to the postseason, basketball and football starting up, hockey right around the corner. So all the sports we love. College football is going on. And then you get the best weather. And then you get two phenomenal holidays. You get Thanksgiving, you get Halloween, and you get Blake's birthday. So
that's three.
So
three holidays.
Summer's overrated. Spring, the weather's spring's a little overrated as well. Winter has its moments. I'm not gonna dispute winter, but fall is the best season around the world, and especially in Texas.
Postseason baseball, the most watchable baseball. You get hockey and basketball starting here before too long. I'm not gonna fight you on that.
No,
that's true.
Fall means ball. Fall means By the way, you guys get the Dylon reference, correct?
No.
Yeah, I love it.
You get it? Were you not a Chappelle guy?
No. Yeah, I like Chappelle's show.
You don't remember when he was Dylon and meeting the band, making the band? Who's the top five rappers of all time?
Oh, okay.
Dylon. I just making sure, because we've had texters have texted in. They're like, why do you keep saying his name like that? That's not how you pronounce it.
Like, I mean, it is going back like, what, 20 years now? 25 years?
If you know, you know.
You do.
Okay. Ball knowers know.
Now, right. I know.
I mean, we're only talking about one of the greatest sketch comedy shows
ever.
The last 25 years. It's not like I'm using some obscure. Man. Like, you know, if it was the state, then that's an obscure reference. And again, just from the looks on y'all's faces, clearly.
I just noticed Fred's Houston tattoo, his Astros tattoo.
I've talked about it. I mean,
I just noticed that.
It all makes sense now.
I did say
Bienvenidos, yeah. H-Town.
I did say that was my go-to. That's what I said.
Welcome in H-Town.
Is that a jail tat though? Letters are kind of.
Yeah. How many prison tats do you have?
Got none. We did a show. Ironically enough, the place we did the show at, Prison Break Tattoos. So we did the show. We did a remote there.
Well, it looks like it.
We got a tattoo.
That's good work.
Thank you. I know you're not talking about tattoos, bro. How many tattoos you got?
Oh, none.
Exactly.
For a reason.
I understand.
Yeah, do you?
I understand.
You want to go there, friend? That.
Mazel tov, my friend.
Hey, at least you understood.
I do.
It took some explaining.
I do. Blake didn't know? You didn't know?
What happened? What did I do?
Never mind.
What did I do?
You didn't do anything, buddy. You're good.
If we could get a Tolo to volunteer to tattoo removal that bad boy, would you do it?
No. No, absolutely not. No, I'm going to get it. I said that if the Rangers make the playoffs, I'll get a Rangers tattoo. So just the playoffs, not the World Series, just the playoffs.
Did you pick a body part?
Square? No, do it on the arm.
On the other arm, though, right?
No. We're going to do it on the left. I'm done with the right.
Okay, so you're going to do an MLB sleeve here?
Once I'm done with the Rangers.
Till next decade, good. You're working in Kansas City.
No, I'm done. God willing, this is my last spot. So, you know, we're done.
All right. Well, what's coming up on the show tonight?
I'm excited. Putting the show together.
Booking 3 a.m. guests.
Yeah. Booking 3 a.m. guests. One of those guests being Clarence Hill. He'll join us at 7:20. 7:40, 25 days away from preseason basketball with the Dallas Mavericks. I'm hyped, so we'll kind of preview some things that we're interested around the Dallas Mavericks. Of course, all the NFL stories. 8:40, Tolo's on the telephone.
Yeah.
We know there's a football game going on tonight. Should be around halftime. See how excited the Tolos are for the Cowboys game. Of course, playing some of that audio, extra credit, and then getting to that DAC and CD audio. So good. Should be a fun show. I'm excited on Thursday. Four full hours of Fred and Blake.
Now, are you guys feeling a Cowboys blowout victory on Sunday, or are you more concerned with Texans Buccaneers over here, Fred?
That was good. Good call. No, I think what's the spread right now? 5.5? 6.5?
Has it gotten that big? I thought it was 4.5 when the show started.
It's down to 4.5. Yeah. It was 5.5.
It popped up. 5.5 again on ESPN.
Okay.
It's a healthy number.
I'd take it at 20.
Wow. Really?
That's how confident. Now, 20's high, but
not having Bland worries me a little bit. All right. I mean, hey,
Malik Nabers.
Don't you think you might see it? Is there a chance you might see Jackson Dart if this thing starts to get off the rails?
Oh, yeah, that's what they're talking about. Yeah.
I mean, we talked about who's our boy Marshall Green we had on last night. You look at this giant schedule. This team could easily start out 1-10, 1-11.
It's the hardest schedule in the league to start the season.
No way.
Outside of the Saints. Which, you know, hey, who knows? Stranger things have happened. That's what I'm saying. Outside of the Saints, who they've gotten like week 6, week 7, something like that, this team could easily win one game. Yeah. That could be their only winnable game over the next
That's what I'm saying.
That could be for the first overall pick between those two teams.
Yeah. I do know who Patrick Swayze is. Swayze.
That's good to know.
Clearly.
And we do want to thank Jacob Ray filling in for Lucius Alexander today.
Great job.
A combined no-hitter there. 5 flawless. Salute to you, sir. Thank you for your help. Thanks to Wolchuk and Chia Falo and for Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2 o'clock, till 5:30. Early game tomorrow in New York against the Mets. You're going home with the nation, Eddies.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.